All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 31 of the Dunk Dynasty podcast. We're back. The NBA playoffs are well and truly on. Lots to discuss. Big surprises, big upsets today. The Minnesota Timberwolves will be the main one, obviously, that we're going to talk about. But obviously, too, the New York Knicks take an early series lead against the Pacers. Here today, myself, Panache Nyashanu, with Trigger Trey, Trey Mitchell as well. Lots to discuss, lots to uncover. And in addition, we're also going to go into where the losers of the first round series in the East will go. Last episode, check it out. We discussed where the losers of the West first round series will go. Then also, quick thing. If you're listening to this, the podcast giveaway that we did for the jersey, entries closed. The winner will be announced tonight, which will be Wednesday, May the 8th. So thanks again to everyone who submitted entries by tagging, liking, sharing. We really appreciate it. It's helped grow us, grow the Dunk Dynasty podcast channel. And onwards and upwards from here. But onwards and upwards with NBA talk, myself and Trey. Trey, what's up, man? How's things?
Good. Was a little bit upset about the game today, but man, how about them Knicks? Jalen Brunson
indeed, bro. Another 40 piece. Well, I think it's the second most points across four games since Jeffrey Jordan, Anthony Edwards' dad. So it's, yeah, he's on a special run right now. And to do it in New York, Madison Square Garden, I think that's probably what's made it, definitely a big deal. It's a big deal already, but to do it in New York, bro. He's a special player.
He struggled, what was it, the first two games, and then since then, nothing can hold him back.
He's on one right now. But yeah, looking at that game there, bro, looking at the games, actually, first game, obviously, we'll go into Indiana versus New York in New York. New York pull it out, 121-117. Obviously, the man we just talked about just then, Jalen Brunson, another massive game. Crazy, but this was it's an interesting game, man. Indiana, I feel like, just cannot be in a low-scoring game, bro. If some of these games that they have, like the other, was it double overtime game against the Bucks, 121-118, then today 121-117, game one. I thought that the key is to beat New York. I think we all know it. You've got to keep them off the boards. You've got to win the rebounding battle. I thought with the size that the Pacers have coming off the bench, Isaiah Jackson, Obi Toppin, that's a big team. Then with the starters, you've got Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam. I thought they were going to be able to keep the Knicks off the board. Rick Carlisle said it before the game. We need to keep them off the board. We got the size to keep them off the boards. You lose the rebounding battle, some key offensive rebounds. I'm like, dude, you guys have got the size. You can't afford to be bullied inside. And they did. Lost the rebounding battle. Josh Hart, this guy just, I don't know how this guy gets so many rebounds. And he had a massive game offensively too. I think he was pretty average. What was it? Game five or game six against Philly? Wasn't great, but he came out today. He was aggressive. He got in the paint. He hit some shots as well outside on the perimeter. This is, if Josh Hart's hitting shots and the Knicks are scoring like this, bro, they're a force to be reckoned with. Obviously, they had to play the Celtics, so probably not going to make the finals, but yeah.
This is Josh Hart's contract year. He's about to get paid, man. Holy, nearly a triple-double today.
Tubbs is trying to kill him out there. 48 minutes again.
He's done that like five times now, hasn't he, this playoffs?
I think so. There's been a lot of... Tubbs wants this man to die on the court.
I can see why, though. He's been playing amazing. And when he shoots well like this tonight, then gives the Knicks a good advantage to win the game.
Mm, 100%.
What are your thoughts on that Miles Turner offensive foul at the end of the game?
I don't know. I feel like, how I feel about some of New York's games against Philly. I thought they got a lot of calls. That's, I don't mind that. That's an offensive foul. It's an offensive foul. Listen, it's a moving screen. You have to call that. I understand. Obviously, people want to say, oh, yeah, it's the game. Oh, sorry, it's the playoffs, second round, last play of almost the game. Like, this is their last thing, but... Mm-hmm. A foul's a foul. I said it last series, a foul's a foul. This series, a foul's a foul. If it's a foul, call it. And they called it. And then I think maybe on the inbound, was it Nembhard fouled Brunson? I don't know if the ball had gone in yet, but yeah, fouled Brunson. Then Brunson obviously hits the free throws. That's the game. But I don't think that's where they really lost it. I thought it was, tell me another game in NBA history where one bench outscores the other bench 46-3 and the bench that scores 46 points and the other team that scores three loses. You get 46 points from the bench, three, and New York got three, and you lost. I'm like, bro, yeah, this is Isaiah Jackson. Obi Toppin, too. Return game to New York. Had a massive game. I think he had 18 points. That bench was on point. And it was like, man, I thought they had it. I thought that it was in the bag, steal a game on the road. But then, Team USA, guys. The Team USA guard. Where is he? The guy that people said that was better than Brunson. Where was he?
Oh, running past me.
Running past me. He's not beating the allegations. At this point, you can't say it. He's not beating the allegations. He is running past, man. Literally. 8 points. 8 points, man. To be fair, though, at the beginning of the season, I was one of those people. I said that, oh, yeah, Halliburton, he's better than Brunson. I was saying it. I said this, bro. These words came out of my mouth. I'm pretty sure it's on episode 2 or 3 where I said, Halliburton, he's easily probably the second best guard in the East. No, he's not. I take that back.
Post All-Star, man. He's been running past, man. Hey, holy.
Oh, wow. Oh, that
runs
is...
up short path of it.
I don't know, man. Because I literally thought, I went, bro, the bench is doing, they're doing their thing. Pascal Siakam also started off first quarter, he was slow. I think even first half as overall, it wasn't until with like 6 minutes ago in the second quarter where he started kicking into gear. And for Pascal Siakam, I think it's exactly the same thing as the last series, where it's, there's guys who are too small. Like last series was Middleton was too small. Beverly was too small. And then the bigs, the Portis and Lopez were too slow. This series, same thing. When he finally started going at OG Anunoby, he was getting himself easy buckets in the paint, getting to the paint at will. That's the Pascal Siakam that you need in this series. Because, man, I mean, Tyrese Halliburton, let's be honest, has shown us he's not really him in the playoffs. So I think it's going to have to be the Pascal Siakam, you know, show offensively. He's going to, especially if they get into half-court situations, it's really going to have to be on him to get them some shots. And I think he did a good job when he became aggressive getting shots on the inside. Now it's, can Halliburton come over and he does that as well? Someone else needs to come along the board because, yeah, the bench did their thing. Siakam, I think, did his thing. But when your number one guy, the franchise guy, gives you, what, 8 points, I think it was? Bro, you're in a situation.
6 points. And I think Miles Turner is about being the most consistent player on the Pacers this playoffs. Like, I think he's given the Pacers 20-plus points every night and just being solid. But he was giving Brook Lopez hell. So just the spacing on the floor and stuff like that. Miles Turner, I'd give him his flowers. He's been playing well.
Yeah, he's been playing super well. I think so. I think that's definitely been their two best players by far. But even if I look at what you call it, the Pacers, defensively, holy, they just don't have no one to guard Brunson, like solidly guard Brunson. I mean, I don't, at this point in time, we could probably say no team can guard Brunson. He's getting to that point where he's like a tier one scorer. No one can guard him because he gave business to everyone.
Well, he reminds me of Isaiah Thomas, eh? Celtics Isaiah Thomas. Just like, he's like little, but like, why can no one stop this guy?
You can't. It's weird, eh? Because it's either come off the screen, put guys in jail, keep them on his back and draw the foul. Or if you overrun that, he's able to what? Always get into that mid-range. And if he turns around, bro, I think, was it left hand? Yeah. If he goes to that left-hand shot, I think when he goes off his right shoulder, bro, it's GG's every time. It feels like he just can't miss that mid-range shot when he turns up. So, oh, man. Andrew Nembhard, he tried his best. I saw it felt like every single time Nembhard was on Brunson, Brunson was just cooking him. And I felt so bad for Nembhard. I went, please, could they get someone else on Brunson? Please, bro. You're making this guy look bad.
That Nesmith fella, he tries as well, eh? But
yeah,
it takes more than one person on the team that's on the court to play good defense. You know, you need the whole team.
Yeah.
Like the T-Wolves. It's taken note out of their book. And
100%. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go forward. Because I mean, it's, do you get to the point in time now where you're like, let's try to throw some doubles at Jalen Brunson and try to get the ball out of his hands and let these other guys beat us? Because I feel like that's almost the route that I want to start taking to say, let's put the ball in other people's hands. Let's see if Josh Hart can beat us the entire game. Let's see if Dante DiVincenzo can beat us the whole game, having to create for themselves. Because when Dante DiVincenzo is able to get shots off Jalen Brunson drives when the defense collapses, or Josh Hart drives, collapse the defense, that's when, you know, you put yourselves in some tough situations. But if you throw doubles at Jalen Brunson, let's see if these other guys can beat us. Let's see if what happens when he scores 25 points, not 40. What can we do?
The only thing with that is you double-team someone, someone's going to be open. And I feel like all those starters are capable of making a three-pointer, apart from Isaiah Hartenstein, who made a lovely shot today. But
wow, 50-foot bomb, eh? Jeez.
Like, I feel like you're taking a big risk doubling. Dante, he can give you 10 three-pointers in a game, but can he do it consistently? I don't know.
Yeah. That's going to be the massive one. But yeah, I mean, that's tough for Indiana. Yeah, to win the bench points 46-3 and you lose that game. That's, for me, I've actually got some optimism for them because I feel like they scored in the paint well. I think they can score better in the paint as well. But, bro, they can score better in the paint. They won the point battle today, the bench battle that they won. And as you'll hear me say later down the track, I feel like Indiana can win this series because I just believe that at some point in time, bro, these minutes are going to come back to bite them and the lack of bench production will come back to bite them. I just believe it.
It's not really much of a bench, though.
What was it? Miles McBride? Who's the other one? It's is Hartenstein? Yeah, Mitchell Robinson. And who's the last one?
One for 27 minutes.
I gave you 3 points.
Usually what your sixth man gets.
Sixth man of the year. Tibbs doesn't believe in sixth man. He believes in Josh Hart for 8 minutes. That's the game plan. Let this man die on the court. But that's the game. The game's the game. But congratulations, obviously, the Knicks get that first win in the series in front of Stephon Marbury. Shout out Stephon Marbury, was out there to watch the Knicks. Can they do it 3 more times and go to conference finals for the first time in what would be feels like so long? We shall see. But yeah, first, if you're going to do it, obviously this is the best way to start. Get a win at home and keep your home court advantage. But on to the heavyweight matchup, the big shebang, the heavyweight fight. Timberwolves and Nuggets. If you had asked anyone at the beginning of the season if the Timberwolves and Nuggets played each other in Denver, if you had asked anyone, what do you think the score was going to be? I don't think even 1% of people would have said the Timberwolves would be up 2-0.
Bad. Fine ass whooping.
26-point ass whooping, bro. Gosh. Oh. I don't know. That was crazy.
Bench, man.
That Timberwolves defense. The defense
and the bench production.
It's on another level, bro. That defense, I don't think I've ever seen. I'm not trying to be prisoner of the moment here, but I'm really trying to think of the last time I saw a defense where it just felt like the other team was in the torture chamber like the entire time. Because even when Denver scored, it was pissed defense. Just poking the ball away, forcing them into tough shots. Because they got, Denver had 18 offensive rebounds. They didn't have 18 offensive rebounds like how you normally get. They had 18 offensive rebounds because it was block, get the ball back. I'm pretty sure it was what? Naz Reid and Nikhil Alexander Walker combined for 7 blocks, bro. And the Denver Nuggets had 3 combined. That tells you everything you need to know. They are just using their size to put these guys in the torture chamber. And Denver, they're struggling. They're struggling bad.
Yeah, Jamal Murray is not really helping the case. He's had a tragic start to the series. I don't know what he can do better because he's getting harassed. Like you see, Nikhil Alexander or Jaden McDaniels right blitz this guy. What do you do? They're like so long, so tall. And yeah, Jokic, yeah, driving into a brick wall. No, Gobert today, but it proves they don't need him. I don't think the T-Wolves really need him that much. Naz Reid impact is
Because I wasn't going to say, like, I think they still, they still need Gobert. I think it's Gobert. This Gobert really gave them this defensive identity that they were able to carry on without him today. Shout out Rudy Gobert, first time father. So shout out to the Stifle Tower. But man, they carried that defensive identity without him, because when the headline came out, because I was looking at the odds, and then when Gobert got announced as out, the odds swung even more in Denver's favor. And even for myself looking at it, I went, man, I don't know. Now they have to go 1-on-1 against, you know, Jokic with just Cat and Naz Reid. I was sort of underestimating them. Then the game starts and you're looking at, what do you call it? Naz Reid doesn't even start. He starts on the bench. They're going Cat, leaving Cat 1-on-1. They're like, Cat, you're going to play 1-on-1. No one help. Stay home on everyone else. Let's let him go to work. And if he gets into the paint, let's send the slight double. He was kicking it out. But, bro, even when they were kicking it out to these other guys, the T-Wolves scramble defense is on another level. They just play with so much energy. The athleticism is just, they are pests on defense. They're just there every single time. And that's why we kept on saying, this is a young man's league, bro. Because you see, the difference between the Lakers series and this series, the Lakers were so slow to rotations. And the Lakers' best defender against Jamal Murray was who? Like Austin Reeves or D'Lo? Whereas these guys, they got Jaden McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander-Walker. And if those two, let's say, God forbid, get in foul trouble, you can say, Anthony Edwards, lock up, lock in, you go take him. And they have gone to town on him. 9-on-30. Pause. No, Diddy. 9-of-32 in the first two games for Jamal Murray, bro. That is criminal. Holy.
Man, the Denver team is missing those key players they had in the playoff run last year, and Bruce Brown and Jeff Green. But the defense, I'll take my head off to the defense, is unreal.
That defense was crazy. That's, bro, I don't know. Like, I'm trying so hard not to be prisoner at the moment. But because I'll give credit to the Thunder. The Thunder, for example, last series when they played the Pelicans, they had games like that where they put the Pelicans in the chamber, the torture chamber. Like, the Pelicans could do nothing. But the Pelicans didn't have their best player. They did this to the Timberwolves did this to the defending NBA champions, like put them in the chamber. And I know people want to say, oh, Jamal Murray calf injury. Okay, maybe, but I don't think even without
a calf injury. They're getting outplayed.
100%. Outplayed, out-hustled, out-efforted, bro. Like, I think the effort of the Timberwolves, they just want this more. And I think last series, against the Lakers, you kept on looking at it. I kept on watching and I went, bro, the Nuggets start these games off slow and the Lakers are able to stomp them, but the Lakers, they can't maintain their energy. Why? Because I believed it was because, like, they were an old team. They rely on LeBron. LeBron's 39 years old. The Lakers go as far as he goes. Whereas with this team here, the Timberwolves, brother, you start slow against them, they'll stomp you, and they won't stop in the second half. Second half, they keep that pressure on you. And the Nuggets, that's why we're not seeing these second half comebacks, because the Timberwolves don't let it go, bro. If they got the foot on the neck, they keep pressing until they break you, which I think in the fourth quarter today, or even the third quarter, actually, they broke them for the game at least. I don't know for the series, but definitely for the game.
I feel like, yeah, like even Ant-Man, if he needs to score the ball, he will. Like, his bag is, he can shoot the three, he can post up. That post shot, I swear, he never misses it.
He's cold, boy. And that fadeaway over MPJ, I think MPJ and KCP. Oh, Lord. And it was fadeaway to the right. I went, I think we got a problem here. But I think Captain, we got a problem. But also, shout out to Cat, man. Cat was a massive game. I think game one, he had 20 points, but we keep on forgetting that he had 20 points because he didn't play the last couple of minutes. It was Naz Reid and Gobert. But today, 27 points. Anthony Edwards, 27 points. Off the bench, NAW, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and Naz Reid both give you 14 points. I'm looking, I'm like, dude. And then meanwhile, those are the real rotation players. Whereas on the other end, the real rotation players for Denver, what is it? Justin Holiday hits 4-3, shout out. But then Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, Reggie Jackson, they give you like 5 points. So, bro, the depth that we talked about, you talked about it, I talked about it, Jed talked about it, Ethan talked about it, everyone I feel has talked about it. The depth at some point in time was going to come back to bite them. And in the playoffs, your biggest weakness comes back to haunt you. Benches are your biggest weakness. You got no depth. You're getting cooked now.
Yeah, this is tough. And Denver, they're going to be making some moves this offseason, I can tell. Like, your win time is now. And, well, they're getting stunned right now, I think. They didn't think they were going to lose like this.
100%. Are you going to be like Charles Barkley? Are you going to get the brooms out? Yes or no?
Oh, man. That's right. I will be getting the brooms out.
Fuck. It's hard not to get it. I'm trying so... The thing is, I'm at that point in time, I'm like...
I'm not going to count the Nuggets out because they adjust. You know, they'll adjust, but the defense, if they keep it up, man, they're not winning.
Down 2-0 going to Minnesota. You're going to Minnesota. And they played you like this on the road. Imagine they play you at home in front of their crowd and they're going to have Gobert back. I'm like... I think I'm going to... I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say... Right now, I had Timberwolves in six. I'm going to stick with my prediction. I'm going to stick with Timberwolves in six. I'm not going to change.
Jamal might also miss game three with that heat thing he threw on the court. Potential suspension on there, I see. But...
That's what I thought too, man. I thought they got away with a tech. What do you call it? Mike Malone runs up to the ref. No snow. It's like, bro... Tell me what other instance a coach doesn't get a tick for that, let alone not ejected. Yeah. Murray, same thing, doesn't even get a tick for throwing down the court. I'm like, dude, come on.
Casey, like the ref sees KCP throw it up. The ref must have thought it was a fan or something.
100%. Because when you're looking at it, yeah.
Yeah. I think if you'd definitely seen Jamal throw it, 100% would have been a tick.
Yeah. 100%.
But I think that's also why it could be a suspension, but...
It's wild, man. I'm shocked, man. I never thought I'd see the Denver down 2-0 and 2-0 losing both games at home. That's tough. But yeah, I'll still come by Timberwolves in six, which we're about to transition into now, actually, since we never got the opportunity to do it. Second round predictions. We didn't officially drop these, but this is the time now. This is the best time to do it. Obviously, a couple of game ones have taken place.
I think we have.
Did we?
I think the only one we didn't, because Ethan was Nuggets in seven or T-Wolves or in six.
I thought that was only for the thing series, was it? I think it was only for the Timberwolves series, wasn't it? After game one.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. I'll have to go rewatch the tapes, but we'll get them anyway. Since it's us two, we'll get our second round predictions in. So here we go. We'll start off with on the west side. So series starts tomorrow. OKC versus Dallas. Who you got, Trey?
Man, if I'm not a Nuggets supporter, I'm a Mavs supporter. So I got the Mavs. Mavs in six.
Same as me. I got Mavs in six for that one too. So Mavs going to another conference finals. First time in 3 years. All right. The series, that's two games in right now. Wolves versus Nuggets. I had Wolves in six before the series began. I'm going to stay with Wolves in six. How about you?
I had Nuggets in six. After game one, I had them in seven. Now I've got T-Wolves in four.
Get the brooms out. Okay.
Oh, man.
All right. So we're unanimous at this point. I think we're probably going to continue. Maybe. On to the next one. Celtics versus Cavs. Who do you got for this one?
Oh, get the brooms out, man. Get the brooms out. It's going to take a Spider 70-point game to get a dub.
Oh, God. I think it's terrible.
Spider is a flamethrower, man. If he's got it going, he's got it going. But he's also the coldest person on the court at the same time.
Yeah, I fully agree. I'm not going to get the brooms out. I think what you just said, I think will happen just one time. And I think that one time that will happen will be in Cleveland. So I'll take Celtics in five. Yeah,
he's probably going to break MJ's record against the Celtics.
I'll say so. Give me that. So, Rick is what, 69? Give me Donovan Mitchell 71.
Nah, 63.
Oh, 63. Oh, yeah. Okay, so give me it. give me a Donovan Mitchell 64-point game. in Cleveland, and Cleveland wins and loses the series 5-4.
Yeah.
Okay. And then today's series, it started off, obviously Knicks are up 1-0. Knicks versus Pacers.
Knicks. I'll give the Pacers 2 games. Just if Jalen Brunson doesn't have it going, the Pacers are going to outscore them. So I'll go Knicks and 6.
All right. My one's a bit controversial because on my paper here, I've got Knicks and 7 because I wrote this down yesterday. I had Knicks and 7. I'm changing. I'm going to take the Pacers and 6 because I think at some point in time, they have to run out of energy. And from what I saw today, I believe that the Pacers could do it. So I'm going to take the Pacers in 6, use their size, use their depth. And it's going to be the Pascal Siakam show because John Stockton II is he's not going to do anything for you. Running past, man, indeed. All right, so that means we are unanimous. Oh, no, we're not unanimous. We three of them we agree on, and then it's only the Knicks and Pacers series that we disagree. Okay, that's pretty good. I'll take that.
Sweet.
Yeah. But on to the next one. Lots of losers in the first round. Last episode, we discussed where the losing teams in the first round from the Western Conference are going to go. So if you want to go hear what we had to say about those teams, the Lakers, the Clippers, who else do we have? The Pelicans and the Suns. Go listen to episode 30. But hey, episode 31, discussing where the losers of the first round in the Eastern Conference are going to go, starting with the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks, tough one. First round exit back-to-back years, and especially after trading for Dame Lillard, and he gets injured, Giannis gets injured, losing the first round. What do you think they go, Trey?
I've got a couple things here. Is Pat Bev done with the Bucks? Like, isn't he banned from ESPN, playing on ESPN games or something?
Nah. I think they ESPN came out and said that was fake news. Yeah, so he's still good to go.
Oh, man. Okay, so he's all good to go. And, like, do you run it back with Middleton now that we've seen in the playoffs? He got a little bit of confidence, and he played well. And does Giannis and Dame want to stay in Milwaukee?
That's true.
If Giannis and Dame both want to stay in Milwaukee, then you've not got much choice but to run it back.
Yeah.
And maybe try to get a decent big.
I'm same as you. I think it comes down to the Dame and Giannis if they want to stay. I think this is going to be, in my opinion, I think one of them ones where you stay. I think we, from the outside looking in, a lot of us know that it's not going to, well, for me at least, I don't think it's going to work. But I think they have belief that we were injured. We didn't get a true opportunity at it. I think they're going to come back next year and give it one more run at it and see what they can do. Because my biggest issue with the Bucks really is sort of looking and saying it's the age. It's a young, we've been saying this over and over. It's a young man's league. What is it? 8 teams left in the playoffs right now. There are 40 starters. We have 40 starters. 34 of those starters are 29 years old and younger. The other 6, there's only 6 out of those 40, 30 plus. And I'm looking at the Bucks. The Bucks only have 3 players under the age of 30. Bobby Portis, Giannis, and Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley is a free agent who I don't think, considering how much money he can get from other teams, like a team that I'll talk about down the line, why would he stay for less money? He's a shooter. Go out there and get your bag. Now, only lives with Giannis. What was that?
He was a 40% shooter, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. So he's going to get a big, big contract on the team. Bro, that team is now, they're not coming back with much because their best player, Thanasis Antetokounmpo, is off contract. Jay Crowder's off contract. Pat Bev is off contract. There's not many trade pieces there. It's Brook Lopez or Middleton, who you're going to have to trade to try get deeper or try get younger.
The interesting you say the Jay Crowder thing. Not even Jay Crowder knows his role on that team.
Oh man. And it's, bro, I don't know. I thought Jay Crowder was going to be a bigger piece, but I think, yeah, we're in 2024, not 2020 or 2021 anymore. So I don't think he's got the same impact as he did on the Heat and the Suns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. That team, man. I thought, yeah, Marshawn Beauchamp as well. I thought he was going to get, early in the season, he got quite a few minutes with Adrian Griffin. But when Doc Rivers came along, he got really nothing. And I look at it, I'm like, Brooke Lopez has got expiring contract next year. I think if you're going to move anyone, I think that's the one you're looking to move. An expiring contract, trade him to what? A young team that's got a really good player that could come in and you could insert.
What's out there though?
I was having thinks about this, man. I was like, damn, what? Yeah, but what is out there? That's true.
Yeah. Oh, and there's Reed's tied up. You can't even go offer him a max contract or something. Like,
yeah, that's true. Because you could almost, like, I don't know. You can put Giannis at the five. I think, low-key, you can put Giannis at the five, you know? But obviously, they're probably going to want to get, like, a true big. But the problem is, with Giannis' skill set, the best sort of prototype to play next to Giannis is the one that they've got. Is the problem that the only problem is that the one that they've got is defensively, in my opinion at least, in the Pacers series, was exposed because he can't really play on the perimeter. He's a drop coverage defender, so guys are able to expose him. So what can you? Who's a shooter that's mobile defensively and is the big? There's not many out there. You're probably going to have to say, man up, guys. Let's put Giannis at the put Boyd Portis at the five, guard the fives defensively. Offensively, do the same thing, but Bobby Portis can shoot the three. Defensively, don't get exposed as much, maybe.
Brook Lopez is a very special player. Like, with what he brings, he can protect the rim, but he just can't protect the perimeter. He can shoot. He can shoot the lights out some games or whatever, but not much out there, I don't think. Not a free agent coming up this season anyways, I don't think.
Yeah, because I don't think they got the money either, really. So, it's definitely going to have to be traded. I love Middleton. I hope Middleton comes back for them because I thought he had a pretty good run. I think they will bring back Middleton. Yeah, so I think you probably think what? You're looking at combining your picks along with some picks, along with Brook Lopez. Maybe see what the Atlanta Hawks are doing. You could try to get Bogdan Bogdanovic, maybe. Or you could go out there, see, you could get, we were talking about him last episode, Keldon Johnson, maybe, if the Spurs are looking to move on from him and take on expiring contract with Brook Lopez. But just see.
Isn't DeAndre Hunter meant to be on the move?
Oh, DeAndre Hunter. That could be good. He had a good run to end the season.
Hmm.
And also, on the same team, the depressed penis. You could put him out there, too.
Depressed penis.
Exactly. Yep. Because I think that if you can get if you can't get a center who can shoot the three ball, which I don't think you will, like you have with Brook Lopez, I think the next best thing, go out there and get some really good wing players that can shoot the ball. So you're looking at teams like the Hawks, maybe a team like the Bulls, if they finally come back to life and realize that their team sucks and, you know, break it up. Or maybe you go to the other team, the Nets, who don't want to break things up, see what they're asking. But the asking price there for Cam Johnson might be way too high. Or for Mikal Bridges will be way too high. But players like that, I think if you go out there, get yourself some solid wing players, 3 and D, build around Giannis and Dame, things can probably go your way.
What about, they could add some domestic violence on their team and get Miles Bridges.
Oh. And Milwaukee, man, he'll be nice and safe too. There's no one out there that could, he can abuse there, so he'll be good to go.
Not far from Detroit, is it?
I think so. I hope so. Well, I hope so at least. Oh, man. But yeah, I think you're definitely time to move on for Brook Lopez. Get younger and see what. But yeah, I'd say definitely Dame and Giannis at least, you got to run it back because you got to get beat for real before you can say, okay, let's break it up. You got beat, but Dame only played, what, 4 out of the 6 games? Giannis played 0 of the games. None of the games, sorry. I say run it back, retool, reload. Let's see what you can do next year.
Yeah. What do you have for the 76ers?
Ooh. Number one for the 76ers, Tobias Harris. I never want to see you in the Philadelphia 76ers jersey ever again. Whatever happens, I don't care what else happens. I don't care if they re-sign freaking Oubre, Hield. The number one thing, I never want to see number 12 worn and the jersey say Harris ever again. Bro was playing against Philly. Be honest. You be honest. He was playing against Philly.
His next head sucks out there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the definitely the biggest thing out there, eh? Do you try to get a sign and trade guy and like sign him the max or whatever and try get a sign and trade with? Because isn't the Pistons going to offer him max money? So maybe try work something out there.
Yeah, I think so. Because I was thinking, yeah, sign and trade with, yeah, Pistons would be good. Even with, I'm not too high on this one, but the Hornets with the Bridges. I don't know. Maybe you can do a trade there, Bridges for Harris, because they'll probably want to. Yeah, I don't know. Or because I think I wouldn't even. Yeah, if you don't have to sign and trade him, if you can just let him walk, because my priorities for the Philadelphia 76ers is Hield and Oubre. If you can't get both, go out there and try to get Paul George, because I think Paul George probably not going to re-sign with the Clippers. I think try to get him.
He's turned down multiple offers apparently from the Clippers, so I think he's done. Yeah, your biggest thing is the 76ers. If you're not going to get Paul George, Oubre is the first person on your priority list, and then Buddy Hield. But what's Oubre going to want? I feel like he's going to want a decent sized bag. While Embiid was injured for most of the season, and Oubre did step up. And
probably was their second best player behind Tyrese Maxey. And I think, yeah, Oubre will handsomely get paid. Same thing as, you know, Buddy Hield. Obviously, he didn't have a great of a end of the season, but still same thing. I reckon he's going to get paid on the reputation of he's been one of the best three-point shooters of the last five to seven years, easily.
Was it the final game where he had that? He got real hot for one half, and it kind of blew the game wide open again. So yeah. I don't think he had a terrible series, but you get, like, Buddy Hield is going to be a valuable player no matter what, because he can just stretch the floor, and he's an incredibly consistent, great, deep shooter.
You almost had to bring him back.
Did you like his last shot of the season?
Oh, it was awful, but it happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And
he had time. It was premature, I felt, but
I think he thought he was gonna get fouled, and then he thought he was gonna get fouled, so he was throw it up before he could get fouled, which is fair enough. But Nick Nurse, why did you sub him off in the third quarter? Why you not let him play when he was so hot in the second quarter and first half? But that's a story for another day. But yeah, I'd say, as I said before, number one, without a doubt, I never want to see the number 12 with Harris next or above, below it. Never again. I never want to see him play for Philadelphia ever again. And I'm not even a Philadelphia fan. Please.
Have you heard that
Devin Harris play?
If Devin Harris comes back, maybe. I'll take that's the only exception. Anyway, on to the next team, the Miami Heat. Miami Heat, very, very tough spot here. No cap space. Zero. Because they've got so much money tied up in Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Terry Rozier, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. All of them are tied up for 2+ years. Massive deals. There is really no room to move. And I think they're getting close. If they're not already there, they're getting close to the second apron, where second apron is where it's very difficult to make moves. No MLE. No, you're in a tough spot. So where do you think that the Miami Heat can go? Because it's going to have to be a trade. If they rebuild and reload, it's going to have to be a trade. What do you think they can do?
I reckon you go to the draft. Like, Jaime Jaquez was a huge addition for them this year. I reckon they try to find another Heat culture guy that they can plug in there and play some minutes. I don't think the Heat are going to be a championship team in the next 2 years. So I think they need to look further ahead than they have. And the draft is where they've had success. So I reckon, yeah, you go through the draft.
Your best player is 34 right now.
Yeah. That's why I agree with Trey. I think your best player is 34. There's no, like, the way that I'm sort of looking at this team, I'm thinking it's win now. There's no we're looking for the next couple of years. The Miami Heat have shown multiple times after a star leaves or after an era ends, they can come back and rebuild. They've got the tools to do that through the draft. But I think for the time being, there's no through the draft. Your star's 34. You got Bam locked up. Let's go out there. If it means moving Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, let's go get some people. Or let's move those picks that we have to go get someone else. Because Rozier, I don't think did what you thought he was going to do. So I say, let's move Tyler Hero. Let's see if we can get Trae Young. Let's see Donovan Mitchell. What is he going to do? Let's see Paul George. What is he going to do? Let's see what Kevin Durant's going to do. Let's see what we can do and move some people.
The gap's too big. The gap is way too big between them and the Celtics to think they can trade for some old guy. Or no, that's to trade for anyone. I reckon the kind of guy that the Heat could look to that would be a good addition for the team, Donovan Mitchell. But I don't think the Celtics are going to want to move on. Oh, no, the Cavaliers are going to want to move on after they won this series. So I just don't think there's anyone out there that they could add that would close that gap between them and the Celtics. I just reckon it's too big.
But you've got to think about it.
Oh, coach is miles ahead.
Was that?
The coach is miles ahead, and I just want to see what Pat Riley does after his interview. Was it today?
Yeah.
Man. It's going to be a quiet room when he walks in the training camp this offseason, man. Holy.
If you're not on the court, shut the hell up. And, but, I mean, that's a fair point. But like, if I go back to that point about the Heat, it's just, in my opinion, there is no point for you to say, oh, okay, let's try to get someone through the draft. I think, brother, that time has been and gone. For if Jimmy Butler was 31, 30, okay, I understand that. But age 35, he's going to be 35, I think, when the new season starts, this is go time. And if that means you go get Paul George, who's going to be available through sign and trade, go get Paul George. Because I think that gap, you can cover that gap with coaching and plugging in these other pieces that they will be able to get through trade or minimum contract players. They can supplement that gap or cover that gap.
The thing is as well, I think the gap is going to get – the Boston Celtics are going to get better as time goes on as well. So the gap between what the current Miami Heat team is and what the Celtics team is going to be next year, I think it's just too huge for Paul George. Paul George has not really proven that he can close any kind of gap for any kind of team, I don't think. Like, when he was at his absolute best on the Thunder, third in the MVP race, like, they couldn't even beat a young Donovan Mitchell in the first round or a Portland Trailblazers team with Damian Lillard. Like, I just don't think there's a player. I get what you're saying. The Heat culture's great. The coach is great. This team has done things before, but they weren't close to winning the championship last year. And I just don't think there's anyone out there they could add. Maybe Donovan Mitchell could get them a lot closer because he's a guy who I think would fit that culture and make big shots for that team. But I just do not think that next year is their chance. I reckon you just reevaluate and you maybe go, 2 years in advance, maybe move on from the Jimmy Butler era, whether that's trading him or whether that's kind of easing into that next one. I know that's not what Heat's about, but you've just got to be realistic. Like, I feel like if you want to win championships, sometimes you have to zoom out. Like, all these other teams that are going, oh, yo, let's win now, win well, win now, win now, win now. How many of them have actually been able to execute it in the last half decade? I would say,
not only one team every year that wins it, so.
Yeah, but I'm talking about teams that have made a bunch of trades in the offseason or a bunch of trades during the season to get them close to these teams at the top of the conferences. Doesn't happen like that. The Raptors would be the only one.
Well, I don't know. If you're the Heat, I don't think you're sitting on your hands and saying, we're going to wait. I think without a doubt, there will be a move made because there's no way with either Jimmy Butler is going or they're getting someone in. There's no way that they're going to... Even if we believe that the gap is not close, there is no way you sit there with a 34-year-old star, Bam, who's coming off... He just keeps improving year to year. He's now added three-point shot. There is no way you're going to sit on your hands and say, we're not going to try. I think without a doubt, there is a move going to be made. Whether that's Jimmy Butler going or someone coming in with Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson being traded or even Terry Rozier being traded... There will be a move without a doubt. No doubt about it.
Did you not think that last year? And what did they do during the offseason? They like floated their name in the Dame Lillard sweepstakes.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like everyone, no one wanted to trade with them. But there is no way. I will sit here confident and tell you this right now. When we start the season, when is it? October 5th or whatever it is, or October 6th, whatever it is. Yeah. I guarantee you right now, one of Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, or Tyler Herro, if not multiple, or and including Terry Rozier, will not be on the Miami Heat roster. I'll tell you that one now. That's my take.
I agree with you. I reckon that if I'm building this team, emotion out of it, everything aside, I'm going, okay, I just don't think with Jimmy Butler we're going to get there in the time frame where he's going to be good. I move him and then I move into a more like a 2-3 year plan rather than a 12-month or less plan. That's what I'm saying. I
There's
like what you
no
said.
player you're gonna get back for Jimmy Butler that brings as much impact as him to
Yeah,
that
but
team.
that's why it moves into a 2 year, 2-3 year plan. It's like, what can I turn Jimmy Butler into that in 2 years or 3 years? We've got some few pieces is going to elevate this team to where we can compete for a championship. That.
Orlando Magic lost, yeah, obviously 4-3 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But a lot of optimism for the Orlando Magic. You've got Banchero, you've got Wagner, you've got Jonathan Isaac, Wendell Carter Jr., Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs. I think this team, in my opinion, has got the most promise of any team because you lost in the first round in 7 games, but there is one glaring hole which I think they can go fix, and I think they will go fix it. Go get some shooters. And this is where I talked about before. Trey was there. What did I say? There's one guy. Malik Beasley, that's the guy. I think it's very obvious if you're the Magic, you decline not Jalen thing. You decline Joe Ingles' player option, which is 11 million, which will give you some space to play with. And I think you use that space to either go get Kelly Oubre or Malik Beasley, which I think is the number one option. Then along with that, there's guys out there like Malik Monk, there's Gary Trent Jr. There is shooters for days out there in the market. I think you go get one or two of those guys. And you bring them next to this team that you've got right now, I think next year they can make it to the second round for sure with what they've got right now. Well,
Yeah, I
they've
think
got.
they're in a nice spot.
Yeah.
What's
This
your
is
thoughts?
just a start for the Magic, man. And they got their young guard that they drafted last year, Anthony Black. He was, what, seventh pick? No. Top 10 pick, anyways. Develop him. Get him shooting. Like, right, you got time. That's about one of the only teams that has time apart from the Thunder. You know, time is on their side. Just keep the group together. That's all they need, really.
They've got so many players as well. When you think about it, they've got, as you mentioned, they got the two Wagners. They've got Banchero, they've got Fultz, they've got Wendell Carter Jr. They've got Jonathan Isaac, who will be, I would assume he's going to be off a minutes restriction next year, so he'll be in the starting lineup. And then you've got Jalen Suggs, Black, you've got all these players on the team. So if they do want to get some shooters, they've got players that they can turn into other players. Do you reckon they could be in the play for Buddy Hield? Because Buddy Hield would do great things for that team.
I for them, I think you've got to get all of these shooters that are out there. All of these shooters that are out there, like the Beasleys, the Monks, they're guys out there. I think you have to get at least two. The number ones for me, I'm looking at the ones who are going to be a little bit cheaper. I'd say Hield surely is going to be a little bit cheaper than a Monk or Gary Trent. I think you can try get let's go for I'd say let's I'd say Gary Trent. That might be the one that you might get probably the cheapest out of all of them. And
Yeah.
then move.
Do they need a point guard? Is that something that this team could use? So no, they've got Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony, and Suggs is a point guard,
Shooting guard. Oh, shooting guard.
eh? Yeah. So do they, I reckon shooting and then like a more of a true point.
Because you can go for a true point, but I'm like thinking with that team, I go, do we want you can get a I'd rather go for all out shooters.
Franz is sort of like a point forward type player too.
Yeah, because I'm happy with having my only fear is I don't want them to go down the Suns route and think we can play without a point guard. But I think they won't
Yeah.
do that. But I think you can probably get enough confidence in Anthony Black to come back next season. Or because I don't know if you keep Markelle Fultz, I think he might be done in Orlando. Not because he's not good, but I just don't think he fits that team based on what I was just said before, what they need shooting. He doesn't give them that. And I'm very comfortable in Franz, Banchero, and all those guys. They my guys. I think you can move him, go get some shooters. Now I'm like, do we put Anthony Black in there as a starting point guard? And if he doesn't perform, let's get a really good backup. We've already got Cole Anthony, actually. Yeah, he's a good point guard. Or the guy that we keep on talking about over and over and over and over and over again, Monte Morris, who I think is going to be in
Monte
high demand
Morris.
as a backup point guard. But even can we go out there and make a move? Trey Jones is going to be there. Tyus Jones is going to be there. There's plenty of
Tyus
backup
Jones,
point
I
guards.
feel like one team that could easily snatch Tyus Jones without giving up too much would be the Magic. They've
Yeah.
just got so many pieces that they could dangle the right couple in front of the Wizards, and yeah, make
If
a real
you
good.
offer picks to the Wizards, man, they'll take it.
I'll say faults, and if they want to pick, put faults in picks, or faults and not picks, sorry, faults and a pick, and let's go get Tyus Jones. Because yeah, if you put Tyus Jones on there along with a shooter that you can get in the free agency, that's the biggest thing. Because that's the thing we said about the Cleveland Cavaliers last year. The Cleveland Cavaliers lost the Knicks series because they had no shooting. They went out there, they got Georges Niang. They went out there, they got Max Strus. Now this is the exact same thing with the Magic. You have the ability to get. They led the NBA in free throw attempts. They led the NBA in free throw attempts. How do free throw attempts come about? You attack the basket, you collapse the defense. If you are collapsing the defense, kicking out to real shooters, I think they can make a big. They'll be a big threat, and that's my hot take for the Magic. I think Magic next year, without a doubt, at the very least, second round team if they go out there and get what they need, which is shooters.
Yeah, but I just don't see how they beat the Timberwolves in the finals. So
Oh,
I don't
here we go. Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go.
But if we look at any of those teams there, let's say we've got the Heat, we've got the Magic, we've got the 76ers, we've got the Bucks. Of those four teams, it was the same thing as we did with the West. Which of those teams do you have as your most promising? I'll go first. I just said it multiple times. Orlando Magic. That's my most promising. I think they're going to the conference final. No. I think they're going to stick around at least next year.
Orlando Magic. Hands down.
And yourself.
Sorry, was
Cheers.
that? I missed. I zoned out for a
Which
second.
team of those East first round losers are you most promising? Do you think is the most promising?
With the current roster, just to run it back, Magic, but I reckon the Sixers, if they find a third scorer, it will be them. So I'm going to back the Sixers and go Sixers.
Okay. I thought you were about to pull an Ethan there, but that's all right. Okay. All right. So that's our breakdown. There we go. And one more thing, Jed. Me and Trey made our predictions before. So I'll just read them out again. Trey's
I
got
know Trey. I know
Trey's
who
got
Trey's going.
Dallas in six against OKC. He's got Wolves in, what'd you say for that one? Wolves Nuggets. What'd you have, Trey?
Wolves in four.
Okay, and then Celtics versus Cavs. He had Celtics brooms, and then he had Knicks in six. I think you had, and then I had Dallas in six, Wolves in six, Celtics in five, Pacers in six. What do you have, Jed?
So I've got Thunder and seven, and then I've got I've got Celtics in. I'm gonna go Celtics in four, and then I am going to go Nuggets in seven. I reckon this, like, we overreact too quickly to a 2-0 lead sometimes, so I reckon Nuggets can correct this. And then what was the final one?
Pacers,
The
Knicks.
Pacers. I reckon Knicks in six.
Okay, fair enough. And that's your Dunk Dynasty podcast predictions for the second round. But yeah, well done. And now on to everyone's favorite segment, trivia. So we have got Jed Mitchell and Trey Mitchell participating today, who also are tied at the top of the table with myself. All three of us are on 9 points. So here we go. Today's trivia, guys, is players with the longest wingspan in the NBA.
Oh,
So it's
bro.
not all of them, it's just the top 20. So of the top 20, you get as many as you want to. I'm going to put a timer on the clock. The timer is going to be set at 5 minutes. So you guys got 5 minutes to get as many as you possibly can. You go back and forth. So we will start off with the third Mitchell triplet, Trey Mitchell. So I'd count you in, man. So again, to confirm, it is the players with the longest wingspan in the NBA.
History or just current?
Was that?
History or current?
Oh, current. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Current players. And also, bonus point if you get the exact reach that they have.
Oh, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, the exact wingspan, sorry. So here we go. 3, 2, 1. Try you start.
Kawhi Leonard and 7 foot 4.
No.
Wemby,
Yep.
and I'm going to go with 8 foot.
Yep, Jed, that's 2 points. Trey. Oh my God.
Rudy Gobert, 7'9".
Rudy Gobert is on there. 7'8½, so I'm not gonna give you a point.
I'm gonna go
We're gonna get one and a half.
Chet, and I'm gonna go 7'10".
Chet is on there, that's 1 point. 7'6". Right.
Is Boba Marjanovic still in the NBA?
Yep. Houston Rockets.
7'9".
Close, 7'10", 1 point. Jed.
I'm going to go with Bol Bol.
Yep.
And I'm going to go with 7'9".
Oh, close, 7'7". Trey.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yep.
7'7".
Kristaps Porzingis, 7'6". Jed.
I'm going to go Mo Bamba.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go 7'8".
Mo Bamba is right, 7'10". Jed. I mean, Trey.
Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid is actually not on the list, man. Jed.
Jonathan Isaac. I'm going to go 7'6".
You shouldn't have wasted your time with the wingspan. Trey, back to you.
Oh, my goodness. Tall butts. Jakob Poeltl?
Oh! No, not on the list. Trey, Jed.
Avisa Zubak?
No, not on the list.
Holy shit.
I'll give you a clue. There's a couple of these guys. Oh, what did you say? Sorry?
Miles Turner?
Miles Turner, not on the list. Not on the top 20. What, not on the top 20. Was, it's top 20. Top 20.
What was the clue that you were about to say?
I was going to say there's a couple of these guys still in the playoffs right now.
I'm going to go with a random one. I know he's got a really long wingspan for his height, but Jalen Williams.
Oh, no, he's not on the list. But Williams is correct. There is two Williams on this list.
What?
Two Williamses are on this list. Both of them are centers. One is a center. They're both centers in the West, and one of them
oh,
is...
Oh, Robert Williams.
Yep. And what is it?
Oh, that is a hell of a clue.
7'5".
Oh! Double. Well, it's actually 7'5", but yeah, I don't know. Jed, do you want me to give him that point?
I've had two halves now.
Yeah, two halves makes a whole, so there you go, man. Jed, back to you, man. There's another Williams that's still on the list.
Oh, I don't know my Williams. I'm just trying to think.
2 minutes left here, fellas, so we need to speed you up. Come on, Jed.
I'm going to go with...
Yeah, I'm going to have to move you here, man.
Nurkic.
Nurkic.
Oh, he's 6'9".
On to you, Trey.
Jonas Valanciunas.
No. Okay, here comes some more clues. You have got a guy who gets robbed of Defensive Player of the Year, according to him, every single year.
Anthony Davis.
Yep, and what is it?
7'5".
Oh, 7'5½". Okay, you've got a guy who's on the Phoenix Suns, center.
Eubanks, Drew Eubanks.
No.
I said Bol Bol. I said...
No, nah, yeah, you already said Bobo, but it's another center.
Tazantu Mitu.
No. You've got a guy, he's been in the NBA for years and years, always leads the league in rebounding. Yeah. And what is it?
7'5".
No, 7'6". Next one you have got, he's been in the NBA for years, Lob City.
Jordan, DeAndre Jordan.
Yep. And what is it, if you want to guess?
7'6".
Hey, it is too. There you go.
Bro, I'm getting cooked on these clues.
He's in the playoffs right now. Catches a lot of lobs.
Ben Gafford.
Yep, Derek Lively. And what is it?
7'5".
Oh, close. 7'7". You've got, he catches a lot of lobs from the number 3 pick in the NBA draft of 2021. I think it is. Or 2020.
Evan Mobley.
What draft was LaMelo Ball in?
I'm going to go with Miles Bridges.
No.
Nick Richards. Mark Williams.
James Wiseman.
No. It's Mark Williams. And that is time.
Number 3 pick. Wasn't he like 50?
Nah, he catches a lot of lobs from the number 3 pick. Right. So he catches a lot of lobs from LaMelo Ball. So that's well done, Trey Mitchell. Trey Mitchell is now up. He has got 10 points. I've got 9. Jed's got 9. And Ethan's on one, but that's the Dunk Dynasty podcast episode 31 done and dusted. Again, thank you to everyone who entered the jersey giveaway that will be happening today. If you're listening to it on May 8th, and we'll be announcing a winner who gets a USD $150 jersey off the official NBA store from us, the Dunk Dynasty podcast. Again, thank you for the support. Make sure you share the podcast with your family, your friends, your colleagues, everyone. Grow the podcast. We're getting big, we're getting massive, and hopefully our egos don't get too big while we're at it. But catch you on the next one, episode 32 coming your way tomorrow.
Ciao.